Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt the Limp.
And I'm Sir Jimmy the Unwell. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we're we're gonna do a little bit of a shorter episode. It's holiday week. We know most of y'all were probably waiting for the part two for the tourney at Harrenhal, the Night of the Laughing Tree episode, but unfortunately I am once again fighting staph infection. It is back with vengeance, and as well as COVID is going around my household right now, so I wasn't able to give the preparation the full tilt effort that I wanted to make the episode excellent. And me and Matt said, well, it's a holiday week, there's some news, we'll cover that. And
yeah, man, the limp. I said I'm the limp today because I feel like we're limping along right now. Okay, you know, I mean, just like
whole week off work, I was so excited, and then we had this big plan, and then it was like free riding the rest of the week, and I just I can't seem to stay healthy, dude. I don't know what it is.
We just did the math. I said today is my Friday after working like 21 out of 22 days or something like that. So I picked up a bunch of work this past month. I'm not picking up any more work for the rest of the year, but my brain is fried. I thought I was going to be a much better place, but I want to do next week. We're going to do that Harrenhal thing. But this week, fortunately, we have some news, Jimmy. We talked about it a little bit, you know, but real quick, it is Thanksgiving. We touched a little bit about it last week. I mean, I'm excited for Thanksgiving. Okay. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I get to talk to Jimmy every week, to be honest. I love it. It's great.
I appreciate how flexible you are. I actually reached out to Matt and I said, hey, things aren't good. And he was like, dude, we can just, you know, we can wait a week. I said, no, we should give them something to listen to while they're on their drives to their family's houses or something. But Matt's always super duper flexible for, just how chaotic my health seems to be at the current moment. But dude, I mean, Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday, and I don't think I'm going to be able to go home. I don't think I'm going to be able to celebrate it because, you know, if I'm assuming I'm going to catch COVID since it's in my house, and then, you know, having staph infection, there's small children roaming around. My family is a little bit elderly as well on the other side. So I'm starting to think that it might be my own personal red wedding. Me just sitting around with my cats, which is slightly depressing.
Jeez, man. Well, I hope we do good here. You know, we got to make it through Thanksgiving, Jimmy. Get you healthy because we got stuff going on. Okay, because House of the Dragon season two, it's ramping up, my friend.
Well, they did the wrap party. It sounds like they wrapped filming and everything, and they did a cast and crew party on this past Sunday on the 19th. We're recording on the 20th. And supposedly there were some pictures going around on Twitter that looked pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And the cast just seems excited. And a lot of people who are talking about the screeners, like we talked about last week, are getting very excited. I would love to know what they're seeing. Like, is it episode one? Is it clips? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know. I do have. I found this Steve Toussaint, I think is how you announce him. He's the actor who plays Corlys Velaryon. He shared this picture. They're all kind of sharing little stuff. So we actually get to see. So it says there's seven episodes. I thought they said there was going to be eight, but that doesn't mean that we know. But anyway, it shows the directors for some of the episodes. So some of these names I feel like we've seen before. There are eight episodes because some people directed multiple ones.
You scared me there.
Sorry. Yes. Looking it up here. I see. Cause I saw two, I saw episode 2.07 as the last one there, but so yeah, we know officially there's going to be eight. They kind of talked about it a little bit, but I was looking up some of these directors here. So, the one who directed season two, episode seven, which is always kind of, you know, that second to last episode in House of the Dragon and in Game of Thrones is always kind of like a crazy, crazy one to kind of leave things off. I'm looking this guy up here, Lonnie Peristier. He's from Boston, but he's directed like a lot of episodes of things. I'm seeing like American Horror Story, some show called Warrior. I'm kind of unfamiliar.
Oh yeah. Warrior is very, very, very well received.
And, he directed a couple episodes of season three of The Witcher, which I haven't watched because once I heard Henry Cavill was out, I was kind of like, eh, I don't know about that. But Outkast is on there, Banshee, Code Black. So some shows I'm kind of unfamiliar with, but yeah, I mean, he's directed some episodes of The Witcher, so I'm
looking and Warrior's been, I mean, very, very popular. People who watch it absolutely rave about it. So I think there's some really cool talent that they brought in for season two. So we can expect even better things going into season two, and knowing that, you know, that we're going to settle into the story and not have all these timeline jumps. I think it's exciting stuff, man.
Yeah. Some of the other directors here, Geeta Patel, directed a couple episodes, directed an episode of House of the Dragon last season. Did the Lord of the Tides episode, also did Ahsoka. So there's definitely some. I'm going to pull up some of these other people here too, just to see what else they've worked on here. But I mean, what do we think about the 8 episodes? We talked about that a while back when it was first announced, but now that it's kind of being brought up again, Jimmy, good, bad, what are we thinking?
I think it's fine. I mean, I don't believe that HBO is sitting there telling them they can't have 10. I think they probably thought, okay, well, if we bring it down from 10 to 8, which, you know, we say 10, but that may never have been the original plan. Like, a lot of people speak about that as if we went from 10 to 8. Because season one was 10, but maybe the plan all along was to do 8 for season two. But it means more money per episode, which is usually a good thing. But I trust Ryan Condell and George to make that call. And it seems like it was their call for where they wanted to end season two. Like, it all came down to where they wanted season two to end to pick up season three. And they felt like the 8 episodes were where they wanted to be. And does this mean that maybe some of the things aren't going to be as fleshed out? And when I say fleshed out, I mean, nothing is really fleshed out in Fire and Blood. It is very much, you know, a summary of what has happened. But I think, you know, the points that we get will be expanded on, but we're not going to probably see big swaths of side material. I think it's going to revolve around the conflict that we have in Fire and Blood, and a lot more time being put into the personal conversations around that.
Yeah, so here we go. So Alan Taylor is directing episodes 1 and episode 4, and we kind of have already been told, it seems like all the rumors and everything are saying that Blood and Cheese is going to be in episode 1, which is kind of like, to me, one of the most crazy moments.
Yes.
In the Fire and Blood, World of Ice and Fire, you know, the story that's going to be House of the Dragon. We don't have to go deeper into that if we don't want to necessarily spoil it for people who may be coming and checking this as spoiler free. But I mean, it's up there with some of the other moments. Now, actually, if you are looking at this, Alan Taylor's directing, has directed some pretty massive episodes of things, directed like half of the final season of The Sopranos, directed like a bunch of episodes of The Sopranos, as well as like some big episodes of The West Wing, Rome, Mad Men, and did a lot of directing in Game of Thrones, including season one, episode 9, Baelor, pretty big episode.
Yeah.
Season 1, episode 10, season 2, episode 1, The North Remembers. In season 2, did episode 1, episode 2, episode 8, and episode 10. So directed like almost all of season 2 of Game of Thrones, and then came back and did season 7, episode 6, Beyond the Wall, which, you know, for the final seasons, at least like from a directing standpoint, pretty crazy, right? I mean, that's where we lose the dragon and everything. I mean, pretty insane episode there. So, I mean, that's getting me excited, because that tells me episode 1 we already know is going to be big. But what's that say about episode 4?
Yeah, and, you know, episode 4 being humongous is all obviously important, because it's that mid-season climax type deal. But I think the reason why Blood and Cheese is going to be episode 1, and I was kind of a part of the crowd that was like, well, isn't that a little early? Or like, you know, should we save that for the big moment? But I actually don't think so. I think that Blood and Cheese will be the tone setter for season 2. And a lot of what gets us to the mid-season climax will be the fallout of said event. Even though season 1 clearly had a pretty big exclamation point for an ending. I believe it's been confirmed that the opening scene will be in Winterfell, which me and you predicted would probably be the case. I don't think that's a crazy big prediction, but we were right. I think you'll see a dragon flying over Winterfell, which is just man, seeing Winterfell again will be everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for it because I think it's going to that. I think it's the perfect way to start that episode is with Winterfell, and the perfect way to end it is with Blood and Cheese, because for a season two opener, everyone's going to be watching it on HBO. You are going to have Twitter and everything just going absolutely nuts. Yeah. So I think it's like the perfect way to get that. And it's like, it's one that hook to get you in right at the beginning. And then also the hook to be like, wow, I can't wait for next week. Like,
yeah. I think it's going to be one of the top trending moments, you know, in the Game of Thrones universe. And what it will do is it'll make everybody be able to say, like, not only is House of the Dragon back, but Game of Thrones is back, yada, yada, yada. Same thing that we saw kind of with season one, but maybe to a bigger effect. And I think the show is going to be better. I mean, usually these things, they learn lessons, they tighten things up. They brought back a lot of people that were successful in season one and then added a lot more talent, which is always a good thing. And also a lot of the effort to get set pieces done and whatnot, those things are already done and they've done them once. So it allows a lot more opportunity and money to go towards other things. So I'm so excited, man. And I heard today is Monday. I had heard that a trailer could be dropping as soon as today. I also heard some people saying that it might drop on Thanksgiving, which is exciting. I think we're gonna get a trailer by the latest next Monday, but it could be tonight during Monday Night Football, or it could be, you know, later.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we'd know if it was Monday Night. I know I told you right before this, it could be come out. I feel like they're going to do the same thing. I've been reading about that too. I've been in the like wikis or the Reddits all day. And some people were saying that because the press has seen the trailer for it, and all the internal rumors and everything are that it looks awesome and it looks amazing. And so I guess that they had shown that to the press like 4 months before we saw it. Remember, it just dropped in like in October or something. It was like, it was around like this time and it just dropped. It was like a Thursday, I remember. And I think I skipped work that day. I was like, I'm sick. sick of having to go to work and not being able to record episodes.
I hope your supervisor isn't listening.
I don't work there anymore. Okay.
All right. Let's go.
I work at a different job now. I don't even work there. I, you know, technically have Thursday scheduled off now. So anyway, yeah, it's too important. So it is, you know, that these are the things.
I mean, hey, I'm not holding it against you.
Yeah. So. So now they're saying, well, if that's the case, then we might not see it until February. Like if it were to continue that trend where they get it a couple months ahead of time. So if you do the math, that would be February. Well, what happens in February? Another big event.
Yeah, with Super Bowl.
Super Bowl Sunday.
We had speculated that the first season of House of the Dragon would be advertised during the Super Bowl during like an HBO feature, and it really wasn't, which we thought was a big miss. And I remember me and you were a little bit, I think it was before I joined the show technically, but I remember us talking in a chat and I was kind of like, this makes me slightly nervous of what's going
on. Yeah, well, and some of that was when AT&T and Warner Brothers were doing the like spinoff buying, you know, merging Discovery Warner Brothers. And so some of the
also,
things now
wasn't coming out to August. So that's different.
Yeah, which may be coming out. It still says summer. We don't know, but maybe coming out in like June,
or July. It seems to be. Yeah.
Even like earlier in the summer. Yeah. So that could be a different story. But, you know, before that, I was like, well, they're trying to save money for the merger and have the balance sheet all right. So, you know, Super Bowl commercials are expensive.
That's what I hear.
So, yeah, millions of dollars.
Did our ad get accepted or no?
No. Maybe we can get one for the podcast. That'd be great.
Damn it.
That'd be great if we could get one Super Bowl commercial. But, you know, this year is different. Now they've been there for a while, and HBO is destroying it with pretty much every show they make. So maybe we will get a Super Bowl commercial. That, you know, that'd be exciting, because that's like the most hype of any commercial you're going to get all year.
Yeah, I just wonder if HBO feels like it'd be worth it, because they are so expensive. But I think it's more likely for it to happen this time than it was last time, just because of the timetables. But, you know, there's a chance, I guess, that we won't get a trailer this week. I mean, that's certainly possible, but I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, hey, I wanted to something else I have pulled up here. Again, this is from Reddit today, and this is from like a leaker pretty known leaker in the Reddit community, and everyone seems to sort of say, hey, this is pretty good. So this is potential spoilers. I mean, we know it's coming, but I want to throw that out there as potential spoilers, because we're actually going to talk a little bit about the content of it. So if you don't want to know.
Yeah, Fire and Blood spoilers, Future House of the Dragon spoilers, beware.
Yeah, so a big event. I didn't really know. We know it probably was coming this season. Seems a little early, but they're saying it's going to be episode 2 is going to be, you know, how in the main series we have Clegane Bowl. Well, there's another bowl that takes place in House of the Dragon, Fire and Blood, which is Cargill Bowl. Some of the rumors and leaks are saying it's going to be episode 2.
Interesting. I don't have a problem with them moving that up, because as it is a big personal event, but I don't think it's like series defining. You know what I mean? I think that they can kind of pick and choose where they want to do that. And
people,
I think
people don't even really know these characters yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we saw them like once or twice, and you know,
yeah, I kind of like, yeah, people getting kind of into it, like remembering them. I think they had like 2 or 3 really good spots. So, you know, getting that out of the way early, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It could be a bridge also between like first episode to mid-season.
Yeah, I think it's okay. You know, we have to see the timeline of how they're doing this, because I think, you know, obviously season 1's timeline is crazy because it's all over the place, and that it jumps a lot. I mean, it's still going in the right direction. Some things were kind of a little out of place, but obviously, you know, like what's his name? It totally dies, and they're keeping him around. So the Lord Commander of the, how am I blanking on his name? By McTavish, what's his name? I'm blanking on his character, but, you know, he dies and they're keeping him. So they are changing some things around a little bit here, but I think if you're, by doing that here, by having this take place in like episode 2, you are going to sort of showcase, hey, like this is like a legit a civil war. We're gonna see brother versus brother fight. Like it's gonna be a pretty big deal here. So I think that's gonna be kind of cool by actually having that in like episode 2, especially if we get blood and cheese in episode 1. That's a huge moment, and then we get another one here too. I mean, I'm sure they'll do it justice, but I think that's kind of, you know, like Clegane Bowl was like at the end,
yeah,
right? And it's like, okay, we've been waiting for this whole time. It's been built up. And I kind of felt like its significance didn't really matter as much as I do think, you know, we talk about the books, that it's going to matter in the books. But I think this will be a little bit different, because this is more to sort of showcase, hey, this is what this series is still going to be about.
Yeah. And you're right. It's showing the cost of civil war, and maybe what elevates a civil war far past just normal war is the fact that you're fighting brother, brother, sister, sister, neighbor, neighbor. The Lord Commander of the Kingsguard is Harold Westerling.
Westerling, right? Yeah, House Westerling. Yeah. But he dies in the books, and they kept him.
I'm glad they kept him around, because I like the actor.
Oh yeah, he's great. He's absolutely great. So yeah, so really, right now there's a lot coming out, honestly, about House of the Dragon and everything. And you know, we'll be doing news as we continue our reread and stuff like that. Just a little, like, you know, it's kind of hard to tell right now because so much stuff's coming out. You kind of have to kind of vet it a little bit. But it seems like now the actors and stuff are beginning to show production stuff, and a lot of it's just like, hey, I was in House of the Dragon, that's all they can say, or you know, whatever that we're getting on there.
Yeah, no major recast. Let's also point that out for season 2, which is really great. You know, we got through the whole thing and there wasn't these big, you know, disputes or character changes or whatever, so that's always a good thing too, because most shows, even the original Game of Thrones, went through that at some points. So
yeah, and there's a lot of I'm just looking through some of the pictures here on Reddit. And they're showing so many small details. Like here, I'll get this one pulled up here. Let me add this into the screen here. So just stuff like this where it's like, oh, and look, the high tower thing is kind of incorporated with like the Targaryen banner. So like some of it's like small little costume and like set piece stuff that they're showing, which is kind of cool. I mean, one of the best things you and I talked about, we were talking about this, I think it was last Thursday, you and I were doing a hangout with some of our other bannermen, and we were watching the football game. We were talking about like Wheel of Time.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And Lord of the Rings, and how like the worlds that they created on TV didn't have that same, it felt kind of inconsistent. Whereas with like Game of Thrones and House of Dragon, like you immediately are like, oh yeah. And a lot of that comes down to so much to set pieces. And
yeah, everything. The aesthetic. There was no aesthetic to those shows that felt like it was prominent. And then you don't get that, you know, for lack of a better term, vibe of the show. Whereas in, you know, even House of the Dragon having its own thing. I mean, it definitely went a little bit more colorful, I thought. But you could still tell it's Westeros. And that kind of stuff really matters with branding.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else we want to hit on real quick before we move over to some of the George news?
I don't think so, but I'm glad we got the good news out of the way first.
Yeah, so we talked about this, I think, a little bit last time.
We did not. We talked about how he said, I had bad news last week whenever I talked about him talking to Cassandra Clare, saying that, you know, who knows, maybe her sequel will come out before Winds of Winter.
Okay, so we hadn't talked about the page number
thing. We have not talked about the page. It happened the day after we recorded. So
okay, yeah. So I'm going to read here from, I'm reading it off IGN, but it's been kind of posted into several other places. And they, in this article, they sort of reference some of the other things he said in other sites as well. So George R. Martin has written 1,100 pages of The Winds of Winter, the same number as last year. With a quote that's saying, maybe I should have started writing smaller books. So A Song of Ice and Fire author George R. Martin has said he's written 1,100 pages of the next book, The Winds of Winter, the same amount he'd written as of December 2022. You know, sort of goes on to continue here. He was speaking with Bangcast. Martin didn't give Game of Thrones, you know, fans looking forward to The Winds of Winter much hope, as the so far 9 years late novel hasn't seen much progress since last year. So the main thing I'm actually writing, of course, is the same thing. You know, I wish I could write as fast as Stephen King, you know, and some of these other authors as well, Bernard Cornwell. But I'm 12 years late on this damn novel, and I'm struggling with it. I have like 1,100 pages written, but I still have hundreds more pages to go. It's a big mother of a book for whatever reason. Maybe I should have started writing smaller books when I began, but it's tough. That's the main thing that dominates most of my working life. And then on the Stephen Colbert show last December, he said he had written like 1,100, 1,200 pages with 400 or 500 to go before Winds was complete. And then, you know, no writer is blessed of producing the perfect first draft, of course. And Martin's writing of The Winds of Winter will also, you know, need rewriting, reworking, editing, all of that stuff.
Yeah, so this is where IGN's wrong, and they're kind of going an extra mile to make it more hopeless. But the thing that has taken George so long is he actually edits and rewrites as he goes, and he sends things to his editor as he works. That's how he's always worked. That's why he is slower. A lot of writers will tell you to vomit your first draft, and then the edits become easier on the second time through. That is not how George R. R. Martin has written his books ever, and he does edit as he goes. So IGN is definitely taking the
embellishing.
Yeah, they're making it more sensational than it is. I mean, I'm not trying to say that the whole article is bunk, but that piece I thought was kind of dishonest.
Well, it is IGN. I mean, you know,
yeah, they have, and honestly, it's some random reporter that they throw on it that it's not familiar with the writing process. You know what I mean? Right. Oh, well, he's going to have to edit this thing and not looking, you know, at his writing process. It's fine. You know, we're knee deep in this stuff. So we always are looking up things about George, but the big controversy in this interview is actually, it sounded like he said, and I have 100 pages to go. But there's, I think he meant hundreds. If you watch a video, he says 100. He doesn't say 100. He said 100 pages to go, or 100. Right. Yeah. So I think he meant hundreds of pages, and he just misspoke, because sometimes George skips over some words when he speaks. But I don't think he's written much in the last would be 10 months.
Yeah. Do you think he wrote it all during the writer's strike?
No.
You don't think so?
Probably not. I mean, he could write his book. I mean, that's completely separate. So, like, there's a possibility. I know, but you know,
he may have just not written out of, like, well, nobody else is writing.
He's also talking about complete pages. I think that's one thing we have to keep in mind, that most likely the things, the 1,100 that are done, maybe they get a couple reworks or edits from an editor somewhere that's sitting at Penguin Random House. But for the most part, you know, they're probably actually complete. And yeah, I don't know. It's not good. I can tell you that. And it sounds like he is genuinely struggling. And he's always been forthright in saying when he's struggling. And then when things are going well, he also tells us that. If you remember, folks, about 10 months ago, we were going over updates where he said he got through a block of Cersei chapters that were really giving him a lot of trouble. And he made all this progress. And I think he's probably stumbled into the next problematic POV, whichever one that might be. We should probably, I mean, we should keep a tight view on his blog if you're still here with us at this point. And we should be seeing if or whether or not he mentions the next POVs that he actually gets through, because then we'll know which ones he was struggling with. And then we can speculate endlessly until this book comes out. Yeah,
it's I don't know. You know, it's the never ending debate about this book of what are we going to see it? Are we not going to see it? I still say that we are in a better spot now than we were really before COVID, because it felt like it felt like sort of like before 2021, 2022, he was always saying, woe is me, right? Like, oh man, I said I'm going to get it done. And I felt like he didn't even write for years, which now we've actually had more kind of new information that does seem like may not have touched this for like 3-4 years.
There's also a really good chance he threw out maybe an entire draft. Like there's definitely that possibility.
Right. Too. Right. You know, and some of that too might've been like, maybe he legit stopped writing because he was wondering how people were going to react to it. And once people saw Game of Thrones, once they saw past where he was, he was like, well, that wasn't a good idea. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know. Like, he has said that the endings are going to be different. That's so not
the endings going to be different. And also that it has led him to actually make changes and kind of like a damn it. Well, I'm going to tell the story. You know, if it changed. Sorry.
Right.
Which I'm sure exactly. Kind of weighs on him a little bit, because I'm sure there's like the unspoken agreement between him and the showrunners, right? Like whenever he gave them the 5 points. I'm sure that probably bothers him a bit, him being a writer for television himself. And, you know, obviously Dan and Dave have a great hand in how popular these books have become. So I don't know, man. I mean, we are in a better position than we were. I would say my 2024 estimate is pretty much, saying this in 2023, but I think it might be kapoof.
I think you got to hold on to it.
I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to back down. There's no way that's happening, but there are people who have basically tried to figure out his pace of how many pages he writes in a year, and it's sad, but they were saying 2027 would be.
Yep, I saw that too. Yeah,
if it's four to 500 pages, 2027. At that point, you know, George is going to be in his 80s, and I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you never know. I mean, you also got to think he talked in this other thing about there's potentially 8 spinoff shows that are, you know, some of these things get tossed up in the air and they make it like 2 months and you never know, you know, what.
Gets happening. And nothing is greenlit right now. Absolutely nothing.
Well, a Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh yeah. Other than that, but the other spinoffs, I mean, aren't even close.
Some of the shows I kind of feel like I don't even want.
Well, they're not. Not all of them are going to make it. I bet you one or two make it. Maybe
like the Nymeria one. I don't really care.
I don't know. Nightmare. That story's cool.
I know, but it's just like in the grand scheme of things, it just feels like it's too. I don't know. Is it? It's just not like it's like that's a really kind of specific thing to build out the world when you have a lot more like closer things you need to build out.
Well, I would agree with that. I think it's an opportunity to expand the show. And Nymeria, if done correctly, could be a massive character like in the universe. I mean, Nymeria was really cool. So, but to be honest, even though I would like to see it, I don't think it's likely.
Yeah.
I think Robert's Rebellion is far more likely.
Robert's Rebellion, Aegon's Conquest, pretty much anything from like the moment Aegon steps foot on the map to where we're, you know, to the end of the show. Yeah. And you know, George is involved in a ton of other stuff too. So really the question kind of is, he says that that's what he's writing every day. There's no way that that's actually what he's writing every day.
Well, and he doesn't say how long he writes a day. So,
I think
he is definitely working on it weekly. I think, again, I don't think he really says anything until he knows it's in a spot, a good spot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So what does that look like? Is it rewrites? Is it edits? Is it brand new chapters? We're not sure. We really don't know.
Cause he edits other people's books. He's obviously like gonna have to have like production meetings with like HBO executives and storyboard people that are trying to flesh out all of these other Game of Thrones things. And then he's got like cookbooks he's doing, and he's got like, he owns like a railroad, and he does.
Yeah. But how much, all these, I don't think he did any work on the cookbook. I'd be shocked if he even saw it, to be honest.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure
if I sent him one, but I mean,
but it was probably like a day. It was probably like a one day meeting. I don't know, but I'm just saying there's things like that though. I mean, obviously like we know he worked on Elden Ring. So what's to say that he's also not right now working on another video game?
He's working on Knight of Cooters as well, which is a TV show that I guess is like finding small success, actually, like in a smaller audience.
So, yeah, I guess what I'm getting to is there's a lot of smaller project that he's involved with that obviously, you know, we don't really know about. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't know that he really is actually like saying, he says he's wins a winner, like I'm writing every day. I don't think he can't be writing every day, or maybe he's written the book like five times and he's like, I just don't like, some people do that where they're perfectionists, where they're just write and they're like, nope, don't like it. No, nope,
I kind of hope that maybe like that, whenever this thing's done, that we get like a retrospective from him or a memoir or something where he talks about it, because I know I've thrown this out here on the podcast before, but I've always wondered if something happened and he like lost the draft at some point. You know what I mean? Like
he does use a like, he's, you know, 19, so like 93 computer.
That's what I'm saying. And he's so elementary in his tech that I'm like, he probably didn't have a backup. You know, right. It's scary. And man, I've used Word before and had backups, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And you're like, there's no shadow copies available. And you're like, what the hell happened? I've always wondered if that's like my conspiracy theory about Winds of Winter. I think it's a lot more realistic than some of the ones that some of the casts were throwing around. Do you remember the guy that played Barristan was like, oh, George actually has both of the books done. Do you remember that?
Yeah. See, I'm lying. I know, because people on Reddit were talking about this, and we've talked about it before too, about the idea of like, I still think this is the harder. I think he could actually have the other book done. And he's like, I just feel like Dream of Spring, like it's Winds of Winter is the hard one. Because when you've had it all mapped out in your head exactly how it's gonna go forever.
Well, he supposedly wrote the last paragraph of the series, and Daniel Abraham has seen it. But I don't think that he has Dream of
Spring. Well, then we know he's got at least the last paragraph of that book done. So we've got, yeah, I mean, you know what I mean?
Or
so,
just give me the last paragraph, just call it.
Yeah. So I still feel like I'm not as worried about that book.
I'm not confident we'll ever get that book, but I think even if George were to quit today, and say he's done, I think at some point in the future, we would see Winds as it stands right now. I think the publisher probably has rights to it, if I'm not mistaken. Depends on his estate, but I just have, things have a way of getting out that the creators wouldn't have wanted to get out. And the best example of this is Tolkien. I think Tolkien would be so offended by so many of the things that came out. I think he probably would have hated the movies very, very much. But his estate made those decisions, and then there was rights, and now we see, you know, Amazon buying pages of the Silmarillion or the appendices or whatever. It's just crazy. Yeah. So I guess what I could say is that the very worst case scenario is if George were to stop today and go on vacation forever, that the Winds of Winter as it exists today in the real world would probably be released to us.
You think so? It'd just be released as is.
Yeah, I've also always wondered why George couldn't just break these things up into smaller arcs and more books. And I think a lot of it has to do with, actually, I know a lot of it has to do with publishing marketing. And people are way more likely to buy bigger books. And at the time George started publishing these, big chunky fantasy books were the trend, and they still are, but a lot of stuff coming out of Orbit and Tor and Simon and Schuster Saga Press is in that 400 to 500, 600, 700 is getting a little more rare now. They certainly still exist, but there's definitely a push for like thinner novels and more entries to the series. And I just wonder if George, obviously, I think from that interview, you can tell he kind of regrets feeling.
Yeah. Like, I mean, seven is also like just such a nice number.
So is three. So is five, though. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, because it's just like, because I mean, obviously, I don't read a lot of fantasy outside of this, but you know, I know you do, and I'm always hanging out on your Chatting with Nuts in the chat and hearing you guys talk about all the different books you read. And as soon as I hear that a book series is like, oh, well, it's like 13 book, it's like, I'm out. It's like, it's just, it's too, even though it could be less pages, it's like that number feels more daunting than,
well, it's certainly like, more daunting.
Seven large books feels way less daunting than like 13, 14 smaller books.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you, and there's a reason why the trilogy format has always been so popular. But to defend those other series, imagine if George said, hey, guys, I'm going to write 16 of these, and they're going to come out in a reasonable amount of time. You'd be like, hell yeah, dude. Like, let's go.
Because isn't like Brandon Sanderson's series like stupid long?
Well, it's he's written four books in Starlight Archive. Book five comes out in 2024. Going to be humongous. And then he's going to write five more. So it's a 10-book series.
That feels too long.
Oh, no.
It's like, the thing is Brandon Sanderson has a detailed outline, right? And he's like, oh, yeah. it's going to be like 2030 by the time I finish. And it's like, yeah, it feels like too long. Whereas George is like, well, it might come out. You know what I mean? It's like, it may be.
Listen, I read a lot of fantasy series. I would trade all of them in to get Winds of Winter, and I'm not even joking. So I'm with you. My only problem is like seven does sound like a good round number, but if the story needs to be told in six or eight or 10 or 11, I want him to tell the story in the appropriate amount of time. And I just think that maybe had he broken these up into shorter volumes, that maybe it would have felt more accomplished. He would have been able to accomplish more. It's like whenever I code at work and I get a big feature, you know, I have to break those things up into small subtasks, or I will just sit there because I'm like, oh, my God, this thing is humongous. It's, but if you break it up and make it more digestible, it's generally better to check things off and get some momentum going. And I think George just hasn't had a win in a really long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he just needs to finish something up. Maybe he needs to just be like, I'm going to finish the next Dunkin' Egg. And
then at this point, I would just want to read a book from George R. R. Martin. He's my favorite author. I love his sci-fi. If he wrote a sci-fi short story, I'd be happy. Like, I just like the man's writing.
It's so good. I mean, that's why we're here, obviously. It's
why we're Stockholm Syndrome gaslit.
Oh, 100%. Yep. Yeah. I mean, we're still as big as cheerleaders because everybody else is like, oh, that thing's never come out. I don't want to read it. It's going to
be. Hey, we
like,
never wait.
Like, no, we want it, man. I want it.
We get on. We are honest when we feel disappointed or frustrated, but we have never wavered. We carried we carried these banners and these flags when everyone said it was no longer relevant and how any future shows would flop. We were on the reread, folks. On the King's Road.
Let's go. Hey,
man in the wall.
Hey, exactly. Well, and speaking of that, this is, like we said, today's just sort of a short one. I had some news. It is Thanksgiving, you know, and always historically the holiday numbers for the podcast tank.
You guys got to go spend time with your families and stuff. We get it. And also I feel like absolute dog water. I got a little burst of energy there and now I'm regretting it.
Yeah. Not feeling it. Well, your dogs, the Browns, crushed my Steelers. Okay. So, you know, I'm really, yeah, it was,
what would you rather see? Steelers fire Kenny Pickett or Wins a Winner?
Wins a Winner.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. So, well, with that, guys, hey, next week we will be back. We'll be back in our reread, and we're doing, like we said, so we did part one of that Brand chapter, which was a lot of, you know, characters that we never really talked about, like that, you know, the little It's like, wow, there's a character. Who is that guy? Is somebody else? But next week is really the story of Hallen Reed and the tourney at Harrenhal. And it's part two of that brand chapter, which is brand two of Storm of Swords. So with that, guys, hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Have yourself a good little beginning to the holiday season. And we'll see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.